Well, good morning. Right, Pastor has asked if I would, if we would do a live presentation for soul winning. And so what we'll do is we're going to make an attempt in this presentation to cross it between someone coming forward for altar work. But the way we're going to do it this morning is probably a little more thorough than what would be needed at the altar call. Because when you, if you're going to be an altar worker, what you need to do is to make sure, number one, you know the message and what was preached during the service. If it was a message with the clear gospel presentation, as Pastor always does, then you look at that and you consider at what starting point can you start. We're going to assume the person has come forward the same way we would meet somebody at the door, going door to door. Now, we have available on the front communion table a laminated card that is two-sided. One side is at the altar, the other is the altar, and it gives you a outline to help you on talking to a person about the Lord Jesus. Now, before we start, at the end of the presentation, we'd like to hand a clipboard out. It's a sign-up. It is altar worker sign-up. We have four people currently signed up for this, and we will meet with the folks that sign up at a given date, not far off, and we'll offer a little more help and training, perhaps, at a designated time that will work out for everyone. All right, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask that you'll bless this opportunity that you've given us to spend time together, to be able to take and to perhaps hone or sharpen our skills with being a witness and a soul winner, to reach other people for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. We ask that you'll bless our time together, and may it be profitable, and we'll, Father, give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you would like to follow, here is, hold that over. Here is what when I'm out talking to somebody about the Lord, if I'm door-to-door, or otherwise, or if it's one of my neighbors' contact or whatnot, I always start cold turkey. I don't know the folks. I start off with 1 John 5:12. And 1 John 5:12 says, "He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." So that is what the first thing that I would begin to talk to, I won't call him brother right now until after, but Will, Brother Will. So Will, and I introduce myself at the altar, shake hands, and tell him I'm glad that you came forward this morning. Have you come forward in response to the gospel, to know how to be saved?
Yes.
Okay. The reason I've asked that, you always assume the person coming is not saved. So, basically, every altar worker has available as a tool, a clipboard. There are going to be tracts in here when they get printed pretty soon. Now that you're saved, what's next? And then a pen, a church membership, and a decision card. We would work on that card after we talk to the person about their soul. Now, Will, we're certainly glad that you came to our church service this morning. And have you visited here before?
No, first time.
Okay. Do you live in Florence?
Yes.
Okay. We're glad. Very happy that you came. I noticed on our question that you came as an inquiring about the gospel, how to be saved. Now, in order to be saved, there are some things that we must know and that God wants us to know. God loves you very much, and he wants you to be in heaven with him. So there are some things that we must know in order to be saved, however. In Romans 3:10, you notice it says, as it is written, there is none righteous. No, not one. How many are righteous?
Zero.
Zero, none. That means there's nobody holy enough, nobody good enough to go to heaven. There's none righteous. Well, if I were to die today, I've been in ministry for over 40 years. If I died today and if I got what I deserved, I would not go to heaven. The Bible says there's none righteous. No, not one. So there is a category that the Lord tells us that we're all in. He says there's none righteous. And here's why. In verse 23, could you read that?
For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Okay. Now, how many are sinners?
Everyone.
Everyone. That means me. That means you. It means the pastor that delivered the message this morning. It means everybody in this building. For all have sinned. We have, because we've sinned, we have created a wall between us and the Lord. And that wall is impenetrable. We can't get through it. We can't get under it. We can't get over it. There's only one door that God ever made and provided, and that's Christ. Christ is the door. Now, because we're sinners, for all have sinned, that sin put a barrier so that God cannot stand the presence of sin. It isn't that he does not love us, because he loves you. But as long as we are sinners unsaved, that means that we are accountable and we will stand before God one day lost in our sin, and we'd have to pay for that. But God, remember we were talking, God loves you. Now, in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, but God commendeth. Commendeth means that God has demonstrated or he has shown. He said he has commendeth or shown his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do you remember how many are sinners? Remember that previous verse? For all have sinned. Okay, so while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God is just a wonderful, wonderful thing. The problem with our sin is sin must be paid for. It must be dealt with, but it must be paid for if we're going to heaven. Now I'm going to read to you a verse and then explain that.
So Christ died for us.
Yes, he did. Absolutely.
Why would he die for us sinners?
Okay, and that's a good point. Let's look at this. And we'll answer that as we go. And that's a good thing. And by the way, if someone asks you a question, this is not a difficult question, but somebody asks you a question that is kind of like off the wall, has nothing to do with what you're talking about directly, but it does have something to do with Scripture, what I would do is this. And that's not what you've said, but I would say, Will, that's a good question. Let's go ahead and finish what we're talking about now. And at the end, let's go ahead and you remind me. And at the end, let's go ahead and I'll answer your question. Did you notice I asked him to remind me? Because if it's out there, I'm not going to take and bring it up unless he reminds me. Okay? Now, after a person gets saved, those questions that are swirling around that they may have. Some questions are Satan-induced, puts it in the mind to try to distract and interrupt everything that's happening. So at the end, if you will remind me, well, go ahead and I'll answer your question. If he doesn't, about at worst he can say is, you know, I forgot to remind him. But whenever somebody has had an off-the-wall question, not that what you ask, I've never had anybody come back ever, and say, you know, you didn't answer my question. Because if they got saved, all the questions that they had were answered in Christ on the spot immediately. Everybody understands that. You want to make sure you don't complicate and allow Satan to complicate what you are doing and the message that you're bringing. So he says, for the wages of sin is what?
Death.
Okay. That death is a spiritual, eternal separation from God. It is an eternal death. It is not the grave, although that's the beginning, but it is an eternal death of separation from God's presence. And it's all because of the wages of sin.
Penalty.
Yes. Now, the wages means payday. A man has a job, he works, a person has a job, work 20, 30, 40 hours a week, and maybe every Thursday, every Friday, payday. So what do? The paymaster, could be the owner of the company, comes and gives you your check. Or maybe it's electronically arranged and you sign where it's deposited. But that's the payday. The payday is getting what we've earned. And here, will the payday of our transgression, our sin, is eternal death. However, or but, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One is a payday. We get what we deserve. The other is a gift. And a gift is at a birthday, somebody gives a gift. Do we deserve it? Not necessarily. Have we worked for it? No, because it's a gift. Somebody gave it because they love us, they care for us, and they give us the gift. All right? The gift of God. God is giving something that to each one of us that we do not deserve. The gift of God is what? What is
it? Eternal life.
Eternal life. How long is eternal life?
Forever.
Forever.
Forever and ever.
You remember that eternal death? Mm-hmm. Forever and ever. That's what we deserve. But the gift of God is eternal life through, not through church. It's not through how good we are. Remember, there's none righteous. No, not one. So it's through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, that's the good news. And you've said it. You mentioned the word penalty. That's something that we owe God. And so here, the Lord tells us in his great love in Romans 10:13, for whosoever, it means anyone, it means you will, for whosoever shall what?
Call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
You see what he says? Not might, not maybe, but shall be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, for whosoever. Are you whosoever?
Yep, I'm part of that.
Yeah. So you know what this is saying? For if will shall call upon the name of the Lord, will shall be saved. Now, when is the best opportunity for a person to be saved?
Immediately.
Immediately. That's right. So the best thing to do right now at this invitation and at this altar, or it could be in the home, the best thing to do right now, Will, I'd like to be your friend and help you. I cannot save you. See, I'm just a man like you are. But God wants to save you. And so let me and allow me to introduce you right now personally to the best friend that I've ever had, the Lord Jesus. And so, what we're going to do is this. It says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's prayer. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I'm going to help you if you'll allow me. Let's bow our heads before we do to show the Lord that you're sincere and that you mean this. As we pray, I'm going to ask you to put your hand on the Word of God, the Bible, with me, and let's bow our heads. Now, I want you to see something. Did you see what I just did, what we just did? If he means it, if he's really sincere, I want you to show the Lord by putting your hand on the Bible. There's something else that took place. I put my hand on his. Why? I want him to be comfortable. I am his friend. I've already told him that. I'm going to introduce him to the best friend I've ever had, my Savior, the Lord Jesus. And so this, I found, always works well, always. First of all, he's made a decision before he prayed. Does he mean business? Does he mean business? Yes, I do, excuse me. And then I'm going to assure him of that pre-decision that he made. So with our heads bowed, Will, y'all don't bow your head, okay? With our heads bowed. I'm going to ask right now, Will, I'm going to pray a prayer of salvation, very similar to the prayer of salvation in the Bible. And I'm going to ask you to repeat this prayer with me, but not to me, Will. I can't save anybody. But I'm going to ask you to pray this to the Lord and mean it with all your heart. Pray with me, dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I realize that I'm a sinner.
I realize that I'm a sinner.
And I come to you the only way that I know how.
I come to you the only way I know how.
I'm asking you right now, Lord Jesus.
I'm asking you right now, Lord Jesus.
To come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
I believe you died for me on the cross.
I believe that you died for me on the cross.
I believe you shed your blood.
I believe you shed your blood.
For the payment of my sin.
For the payment of my sin.
And the only way that I know how.
I'm
trusting you.
I'm trusting you.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
For saving me.
For saving me.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And I'm trusting you for heaven.
And I'm trusting you for heaven.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Now, Will, the best way you know how, if you meant that prayer as a friend, would you take my hand? All right. You see, I've had people hesitate. And I'll go right back, and I'm going to take and ask some questions. If he's not sure, it better to be sure. Amen? I was up in Anchorage, Alaska. Joe Bassett. We're on the living room floor. I think I had told you all in the illustration about this. We were on our knees. After I did that, I said, Joe, did Christ just save you? I don't know. Okay? Well, let me explain a couple other things to you, Joe. And then we prayed, and he had the assurance that God had saved him. Now, here is something very crucial. What do you do after the person gets saved? Well, you can go ahead and fill the card out if you wish, and if things are being pressed, time frame and everything, and if he happens to say to me, you know, I've got someplace I have to be right now, I'm sorry, we're going to fill that card out right now, as quickly as we can. I'm going to sign the bottom of the card as the older worker. We're going to get his phone number, and I'm going to ask him during the week. This, let's assume this has happened. It's not. But Will, during the week, may either myself or the pastor, may we make contact to you and show you what God's Word says after you've been saved. Very important thing that'll help you. Would that be okay?
Yes.
Okay. Now, we want to keep the tie. We want to keep the cord going. Keep it going. Now, but it hasn't happened. So we're going to take Will to the next stage. In Acts chapter 2 And in verse 41, Will, would you read that verse aloud?
Then they gladly received his word, were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
Okay, this is on the day of Pentecost, and the gospel is being preached like you heard today. And the same day, you see, they that gladly received his word received Christ, like you did. But they that gladly received Christ were baptized. And the same day, do you see how quick that was? Now, we don't baptize, we don't keep the pool, at least I don't think we do. We don't keep the pool full all the time. Do we do that?
No.
And that's off record, but it's still going to be on the recording, I'm sure. But what we would do is, after I've explained everything, we'd make an appointment for Phil, and we'll see that how that'll fall into place. So we see they got saved the same day they were baptized, and as soon as they could is what this is saying. They got baptized the same day they were added unto them. They became members of the local church after they were baptized. Baptism, salvation, but baptism and church membership are synonymous, you see. People don't, that make a profession of faith, get saved, they don't come into membership without being baptized. That's not what I would talk to the person about at the time of the presentation. Okay, so Will, let's see.
I'm afraid of water. Can you just sprinkle water on my head?
Well, that's a good question. And let me answer that as we progress. Is that okay? Good. That's okay.
I know there's an answer to that one, so I had to throw it in.
All right. Now, the reason you should get baptized after is because it shows the gospel in baptism. The gospel is his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So he died on the cross for us. He was buried 3 days. He arose again from the grave, never to die again. This will be your opportunity, baptism, to identify with him publicly in the waters of baptism and show the gospel very clearly. So let's see what the word says. We're in 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the what?
Gospel.
Which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you what?
Stand.
You stand. So you've received the gospel. The gospel, remember, is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. But look at verse 2. By which also you're what?
Saved.
So we're saved by the gospel. Notice he says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. Today, when we shook hands, you had told me that you had gotten saved. You had assurance after you prayed that Christ is in your heart now. All right? Now, notice in verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ, now the gospel has three parts, how that Christ, and you help me keep track and count, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture. So that's number one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then number two, and that he was
buried.
So there's the second part of the gospel. And that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. Remember, he died, he was buried,
and he rose.
Okay. He rose again. Yep. Okay, then it goes on, and he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12 and above 500 witnesses. So everybody saw him after when he was resurrected. So knowing that baptism is your identification with Christ, and I'm going to answer that question about sprinkling right now. When you're in that water, and the pastor is in that water with you, the first thing you're identifying with is on the cross, Jesus First part of the gospel. He what?
Died.
He died for you. Right. Now, identification. When you're in that water, you're identifying with his death. When you go under that water, you are buried with him. That's the second picture of the gospel. He died on the cross. He was buried. And then when you come up out of that water, what's that a picture of? He rose the third day. That's a picture of his resurrection. So when you're in the water, you're identifying with him in his death, his burial, and resurrection. Buried with Christ, raised to walk in newness of life. You see? Okay. You can't show that by sprinkling. It is baptism is an identification of burial in the water, showing Christ's burial.
Is that necessary to be saved?
No, absolutely not. Okay. When did you get saved? A few minutes ago, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is your act of obedience to him now that you've been saved.
Okay.
Amen. So when you get baptized and you followed him in the acts of baptism, you are technically part of the local church where you were baptized. That is part of what it's required in a Baptist church, that you be saved and baptized. See? Now,
so if I die today and I come absent from the body, he's not going to be with God?
Okay, if you died today, say that again.
If I died today and I'm absent from the body, I'm going to be with God?
Yes.
Yeah?
Absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Amen. Okay. All right. Do you have any questions?
No.
Okay. If I was at the house, soul winning, how would I get into Will's house? How would I be allowed entry? He comes to the door. First thing I always do, stick my hand up and I say, "Hi, Will. I'm with Florence Baptist Church, and we're just going out door to door meeting folks and getting to know folks, and I'm so glad to meet you. Are you an active member of a church anywhere at all?"
No.
Okay. You had to think about that. I know.
I wasn't sure how I was going to answer.
Because you are for
yeah.
here, right. All right. We want to invite you to come to the service at Florence Baptist. Let's say I'm there on a Saturday. We have great services. Tomorrow morning, Sunday school's at 9. Morning service at 10. Our ministry of our church, one of the ministries, is to help people. We happen to have a food bank. You could participate in if you would like to, if you come to the service. But more important than that, we want to have you as our guest. And I'm so delighted to meet you. I'd like to ask you a question. If I could show you, and let's say there's two of us, a couple together, maybe my wife and I, maybe one of the men of the church, we'd like to ask you the most important question in the world. If you were to die today, do you know for sure where you would spend eternity?
I've been good.
You know, that's good that you said that. And there's not many people that can say that. If I can show you what the Bible has to say about that, and that you would be absolutely sure that when you die, that you'd be sure today, in a few short moments, that you're going to go to heaven. Would you like to know that?
Yes.
Amen. May we step in just for a moment. We won't take your morning up. We won't take much of your time. Would that be okay with you? And so he generally invites us in. And as the soul winner, the person coming in, quickly looks over the living room. Quickly. If you can see a couch there, then, Will, why don't we sit at this couch, you and I. You can look, and by that time, I've had my New Testament out. I'm in his house. And or the next good place to go is if he has a dining table, dining area, and we sit at the dining table. The partner that is with the soul winner, and that person, if they've got children in the house, And that's a whole different arena. They will take and do what they can to keep the children occupied without having suspicious thoughts in the person's heart that you're visiting, because they don't know us from Adam. You see that? And the kids are coming out and they're getting rowdy. Will, would you mind if my friend here, could we put some toys in the floor and let him just play with the kids right there in front of us? He loves children. See, not off in some other room, but right here. See, that's important you do that. All right, any questions at all right now on what we just saw at the altar? After that, we go down on the card. First thing you do is you sign your name at the bottom. And you can either give the person the card to Will, or we can go right down okay. Will, what's your full first name? We go down, last name, address, mailing address, birth date, and then what kind of decision did Will make today? All right. Right here, he accepts Jesus Christ as personal Savior. And that's what Will did. We check that off. Well, sometimes when you're talking to somebody, I've had people say, you know, I want to join Florence Baptist Church after they get saved. That's wonderful. I'll check off desires membership by baptism. And I'd say, Will, boy, the pastor's going to be excited about that, but our people also, that you want to become part of the church. That will take place after the baptism that we talked about and at that time. All right, he has no more further questions.
I have one.
Yes.
So, since I'm saved, why do I have to continue going to church?
That is an excellent question. Here's why you should go to church. First of all, you've heard some things today that you never realized or understood clearly today that helped you to be saved. Now that you're saved, you've seen that you should get baptized. And you've seen clearly in the Bible why. Then the next thing, you've seen that you should become part of Florence Baptist. We've seen that in the Word of God. I'd like to answer your question by saying this. When you start hearing the Word of God taught and preached, read out of the Word, you will learn what Christ wants of your life, how He wants to bless you, how He wants to care for you, how He wants you to be happy and joyous and victorious in your Christian walk now. The best way to learn that is to hear the Word of God preached and taught. Not only that, you've got a family, okay, yeah, I've got a family, distant and otherwise. The church is part of your spiritual family in Christ. You make new friends. It becomes part of bonding. It becomes your large family. And every time you come to church, I will promise you, Will, that as you enter the door of the church, you'll feel glad that you came. And you'll see people that you're growing to love, and they're growing to love you more. Does that help to understand
yes.
that?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay, let's pray. Father, we ask that you bless the morning service. We ask you bless our pastor and anoint his lips. And Lord, may the Word of God flow from his heart to each one of ours. We thank you for Brother Will being willing to be the example and as a testimony of someone being saved this morning. We ask, Lord, that your will might be done in the hearts and lives of every man and woman here at this point. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Now, before you get up and move around, would you help us?